The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Do you struggle with daily anxiety and stress? Rebecca Lyons helps you establish life-giving rhythms that quiet the inner chaos.
Like if something's stressful, we're like, I can't get a deep breath. And we physically start to feel the symptoms of that. And I believe it's God's creativity to go, okay, I'm going to help your body auto-correct possibly the things that you've taken on or shoved down and you didn't allow yourself to fully process or grieve, because there's an inner healing that needs to happen.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm fortunate to be married to one of the most beautiful women. Most people, you tell them, and I go ahead and tell them, I'm 76, she's 76. I'm just about a month older. She says, you don't have to tell everybody what I am telling.
Maybe 6 weeks.
6 weeks, right. But here's the thing. You are absolutely beautiful. And so we have a tremendous number of beautiful guests. Sheila Walsh is just a phenomenal co-host. And so many guests. This lady here, I think it's one of the most beautiful people I've ever known. It's Rebecca Lyons. I'm looking at her picture on the back of the book called Rhythms of Renewal. It's not pretty good. It's awesome. And Rebecca, listen, she's awesome. She was here one time sharing her testimony. I got so under conviction, I just stopped the show and asked her to pray for me. Just really ministered truth. And when she came in this time talking about panic attacks that could have destroyed her life, and then to listen to how she had the renewal, the rhythms of renewal. I mean, she's the mother of four children. Her oldest child, Down syndrome, and they adopted a fourth child that was Down syndrome, knowing that. And the love that flows through her and her husband, Gabe, it's redemptive. It's transforming. I feel like, as you listen, if you just allow God to pull you up in His arms and set those rhythms of renewal in motion. Father, I pray that for everybody watching. As Rebecca shares, pull the viewers up into your arms. Let them know your heart, know your love, and then let them share it. By the way, let me just give you this little thought. When you're hurting and you know the Holy Spirit bears the fruit you need, isn't it wonderful when the Spirit comes dressed up in somebody and they show you that love as a person? Pray that what you hear through Rebecca will lead you to be one of those vessels so full of the Spirit that when you walk in, it's the presence, the power, and the peace of God. Don't just listen to Rebecca Lyons. Listen to the one she's talking about. Rebecca, I'm glad to see you. I want you just to take off and share your journey that you really cover so well here. But a lot of things have been happening.
Sure.
You know, it's hard maybe because you have an countenance of peace right now. They say, well, she doesn't have anxiety. She's probably not even anxious about being on television. But just take off and tell us about your journey and about some pretty meaningful experiences you've had even recently related to what you share.
Well, it's such a joy to be with you every time. I look forward to it. Thank you for having me again. What a gift and a privilege. So the backstory, just to catch everyone up, is that I first had my panic attack, my very first one, about 9 years ago. We had moved to New York City. It happened about 4 months in, and what began that day on an airplane continued on planes, trains, elevators, subways, and crowds. Has anyone ever been to New York City? All of a sudden, that was my new reality, and after about a year and a half, the Lord filled me with the peace of Christ, and I began to walk out a healing journey. And so then, because I'm a chronic oversharer, God gave me a story I couldn't shut up about. And so I wound up writing it in two books, and I began to teach and talked about the peace that Christ gives the world cannot give. And so I just was transformed by his mercy. Mm-hmm. And the place of panic where it all began was on an airplane. And then all of a sudden, God's like, I'm going to put you on an airplane every Friday, and you're going to talk about the rescue of God. So what was a place of panic is now a sanctuary in the sky. And that's what God does, right? Mm-hmm. He just takes our pain and turns it into purpose. So nothing happened with me regarding panic disorder for 6 years. I didn't have my next panic attack for 6 years. And that's how I begin this book. And what happened in that moment, out of nowhere, I'm locked in a bathroom in a 100-year-old home on the cliffs of the Pacific, and the house is empty, and my cell phone dies, and I know I'm going to be alone in this cell. It's like a little toilet area in a bigger bathroom, and I couldn't toggle the lock. Nothing's opening, and Gabe's gone. Our friends are gone. I'm going to sit in this cement cell for the next 2 hours until someone comes back.
Oh, no.
And something rose in me, unlike any other panic attack I'd ever had. It was like times 10 magnified, and it was almost as if I knew it was coming on, and I felt so powerless to it. And within a few seconds, just my head spinning, I'm literally losing all sense of control. And I was more afraid of myself and what the fear was taking over. And then all of a sudden I look up, and above the toilet area, there's this antique window that's probably about this big. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that thing will open. And second of all, I wonder if my hips are going to fit through that thing. So I climb up on the back of the toilet, and I like toggle the lock, and lo and behold, the window opens even though the door won't. And so I open the window, and I just like breathe in the salty air overlooking the cliffs. And I was like, Jesus, I don't know if these hips are going to work, but we're going to go for it. And so I just pushed myself out and scraped all the way down and landed on the rocks below. And I felt just, my legs were just trembling, and I felt covered in shame. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't understand. Am I a fraud? Why would this be the worst epic panic attack that I've ever had in the history of all 9 years? And I wrestled with the Lord for a few hours. And it wasn't until that night where I'm laying in the dark, and the tears are pooling from my eyes to my ears. And I heard, just in my spirit, I just heard, Rebecca, I don't promise that fear won't come knocking, but I always promise a way of escape.
Yes.
And it was almost like a revelation for me, because my life verse had always been, I don't give you a spirit of fear, Rebecca. I give you power, love, and a sound mind. But that doesn't mean that spirit of fear doesn't still want to come around the corner and catch you in some bathroom stall 6 years later. And we all have different versions of fear. Anxiety became my fancy word for fear. And I think I needed to be reminded in that moment that then gave birth to these rhythms of walking. Because the last book was really about getting free, getting pulled from that pit. But this book is about walking free and living free in communion. And so what he's saying is if I always promise a way of escape, it means I am Emmanuel. I am with you. And just when you think all the doors are closing, all of a sudden this window opens. And I think in our lives, what do we do when relapse hits? Or when we think we've kind of had breakthrough in an area in a moment, and then all of a sudden we feel plagued, or we feel oppressed, or we feel like we're kind of spinning out. And then all of a sudden it's a crisis of faith. It can be. The enemy can just say, oh yeah, God didn't really mean it. Your faith isn't strong enough. And God's like, no, I actually just want to remind you that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And apart from me, you're nothing. And it's just this reminder to me, like, God, I'm not even so afraid of the fear as I am of you not being with me in it.
Wow.
I want you to be my portion, my daily everything. And so these rhythms just flew, like came from that, because I was like, God, what is it going to look like to walk with you in cadence every day, every morning, every night, every spring, summer, fall, winter, every year?
You know, you said something before we walked out here. And I want you to break down the four things, but you said something happened related to an event that moved you very, very deeply.
Sure.
Do you mind sharing that, what that was? Because you've told us about this attack that's in line with you wanting people to have these rhythms of renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, God doesn't want us to trust what happened or that we felt his presence once. He wants us to know if we don't sense his presence, it's always there.
Right.
He will never leave us. Right. We can live in the reality of that, and we don't trust mere feelings or the suggestions or the arrows of the deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
We trust him. So you found that.
Right.
But you said something happened
that
was a very meaningful encounter, and it wouldn't have been one you would expect. I really wish you'd share that.
Well, right around the time I'm writing this book and doing a lot of research about it, my dad died last April, and I found myself in May just facing depression. I was familiar with this visitor. It had been about 7 years, but I knew what it was. And I remember thinking, I don't want to hemorrhage publicly. And I called a friend. And so I decided, like, the first rhythm of this book is rest, because it's the rest and restore. It's the inner life, the inner health, to get quiet. And so that whole summer, I took a tech detox. I got off all social media for 3 months. And I just said, God, I need you to restore my soul. I want my inner life to be healed through you. And I know that grief isn't something you can just race through. You actually have to allow it to happen when it's ready to come, because if you can't grieve, you can't be comforted. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to stifle that wave when it was ready to come, because God's like, I'm going to meet you here, and I'm going to meet you here again. And right before my dad died, my mom gave me his study Bible. Mm-hmm. From when I was 2 years old. And my dad had been a pastor before I was born. And then he wound up being a teacher with my mom for years and years and years. And when I opened the inside of the Bible, it said at the top in my dad's penmanship, it said, depression stoppers. Oh, and then when you looked, he listed out 7 verses and 7 truths that he would recite over himself. And it reminded
me. Dealing with depression.
Yes, dealing with worry, stress, mm-hmm. anxiety. And it reminded me, like, this is a way of escape right here. This is the daily rescue of God again and again and again and again. Because sometimes the muscle memory of anxiety or depression can be our default. Like, if something's stressful, we're like, I can't get a deep breath. And we physically start to feel the symptoms of that. In fact, the American Institute of Stress says right now in our society, 77% of us are showing physical symptoms of stress. And that's where stress starts to amplify into anxiety, because the body is now going, I can no longer contain the emotional stuff going on inside. And I believe it's God's creativity to go, okay, I'm going to help your body autocorrect possibly the things that you've taken on or shoved down and you didn't allow yourself to fully process or grieve, because there's an inner healing that needs to happen. And so those rhythms really were my life source in that healing process. Those two input rhythms of rest and restore. The book's broken out into 4 rhythms that I just wanted to keep it practical and simple.
I love it. I love rest and restore, and you've touched that so well. And by the way, she breaks it down point by point. I mean, it is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. But then the last two, connect and create. Yeah. Expound on that a little.
Sure. Well, the first two are input rhythms, because you can't give what you haven't received. And so rest is the inner life and restore is the physical life. So spiritual health and physical health. But then once you have actually taken a lot of time, like taking a walk and learning routines for deep sleep again, I wanted there to be data and science in every chapter paired with scripture. I know God made our bodies and he gave us his word, and he's like, these things need to come together. So you understand what I have for you. Then when you've been filled up, the output rhythms are connect and create. And so output is your relational health. It's your marriage. I write a chapter on vulnerability or conflict resolution or parenting or apologizing first or be the friend you wish to have. I wanted it to be practical. And then the last one is create. And it's all about calling and vocation. What are the passions and the gifts that God established in the womb that he wants to fill you up and inspire you to go out and use those things?
Wow.
When my dad died, we had just said yes to adopting a 6-year-old from China. Our oldest is 18 and he has Down syndrome. Then we have 2 more that's 16 and 14. And then just when we think we're going to be empty nesters in 5 years, God's like, no, you're going back to kindergarten. And so he brought this treasure in our path. And we had said yes to adopting a little girl named Joy from China. And we were in the waiting period. And then my dad passes. And then in this anxious moment, I was full of fear. I was like, what am I thinking? I'm 40-something. What are we doing going back to kindergarten? And I just was filled with doubt and fear, and like, we've made a mistake. And we were, you know, that's what will happen is you'll make these bold statements with mm-hmm. faith. And right before you're ready to actually see the fullness of that mm-hmm. obedience, the enemy's like, I'm going to just throw her an accusation. Right. I'm going to throw mm-hmm. something in her way to make her question everything. And all I heard in my spirit was fight death with life. Fight death with life. Death, yes, your dad is gone for a season, but he's in eternal life, right? I remember the veil was so thin. And so here we are, 7 months later, we are going to pick up Joy from China. Our gotcha day was in December. My dad had passed in April. And God said, just make her middle name, your dad's name. And so she's Joy Levy. His middle name was Levi, but I pronounce it Levy. Joy Levy, she Lyons. Because it was just this full circle moment of like, and I got to tell my dad we were adopting before he passed. Yeah, I whispered it in his ear. And I just know that it was God's way of saying, like, there's going to be mourning and there's going to be rejoicing. And that's part of the cadence of life, the rhythm, right? There's going to be death. There's going to be resurrection. There's going to be grief. There's going to be joy. But I'm with you in all of it.
Hey, Rebecca, I hope you're watching. We love you and Gabe. Isn't that beautiful, Betty, to hear her and just get that little girl from China. She, you know, she's just beautiful, named Joy. And I mean, you remember we brought a little girl through me just touching a little girl that had on a little communist jacket in an orphanage. Her name was Hope. Mm-hmm. And we brought her over here. She's now graduated from college, went back and got her best friend. She's graduated from college and came into a home up in Detroit that just was a miracle. And there's another one. And Rebecca, you just inspire us to, I think, to move into that source of joy and peace that you exhibit. And this book, Rhythms of Renewal, we'll send it to you today. Don't you just love the glory of God you see in her?
I really do, James. And she was just being heart honest and saying that there are times when you grieve, when you mourn, but boy, does joy come in the morning. If you stay, hold on to God and His love, He brings such blessings out of tragedy. He can light up your life again. Just don't give up on Him. He's never going to give up on you.
Let me say a prayer for you. Father, I don't know what's going on in the viewer that's watching right now that says, whew, I sure could use a load lightener. And Lord, what we've been through has put a lot of people under a heavy load. I want you to get in the yoke with them. You say you make the load lighter. Let them sense your presence and your power. Lord, lighten the load. In Jesus' name, I hope that when you watch life today, every day that you experience life, and hope and love. I know one thing, I know you express it. The viewers of life today, the missionaries have said they're the greatest Christians in the world because they see people that have a need and they meet it. They see it. They know love works. But they know those of us as missionaries have full hearts, but we would have empty hands were it not for the viewers of life today and people like them. Right now, we're asking God for the miracle of completing 350 wells. And I mean, with what we've all been through and the pressure, it's going to take a miracle. But you know, if they don't get these water wells, they're going to die. And this is a disease that we don't have to look for the cure for. We've got it. It's a perfect cure. It's just clean water. And we can drill them a well for an average of 4,800. Could you do that for a village? Provide the miracle? Or give part of it. I want you to watch closely. And you ask God, what do you want me to do? And then you joyfully, joyfully do it. I am by a water source that is so typical of water sources all over the world. We know for a fact in this area, disease is killing entire families and many children. Why? From drinking contaminated water. And you know, it's one thing to say, I'm sorry and weep over it. But you know, when we can be the answer to the need and the prayer, doesn't it seem sometimes just a little bit hypocritical if we could do something and we don't? Well, we can, but we need your help.
For over two decades, the viewers of Life Today have partnered with missionaries all around the world to help save children's lives by providing clean drinking water. Mission Water for Life has drilled over 6,500 clean water wells with an assortment of rigs in different shapes and sizes to meet the needs of a particular area. Each new water well is encased to prevent contamination and capped with a simple pump that even a child can operate. Life Outreach and its partners have already helped provide clean water to more than 6.5 million people. But we still have a big job to do. Around the world, hundreds of millions of people still don't have access to safe drinking water. And hundreds of children die every day from a preventable disease caused by contaminated water.
Jesus said, "Give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward." I don't know what that reward will be for us. That's in God's hand. But I know what reward is in it for the people we give water to. The reward is a chance. It's hope. It's a future. The reward is life. And Betty, hasn't it been as great a joy to know that when we give, just like that water you saw at the end, that we give those children and their families water, we have just witnessed a miracle. Isn't that a tremendous joy?
It really is. And James, I have to say, all those trips we've made over there to see these precious little ones and to see these mothers fill with joy when they see that their babies are going to live a little bit longer because we've drilled water wells. And to see that water, fresh water, come up out of the ground that God made for these precious little ones. And to see the children jump around and play, they're so excited. It's like Christmas Day to them. And to see those mothers so happy because their children are getting fresh, clean water. And to not have to go down to that old dirty hole again and drip, bring up that dirty water that they know eventually will kill their little ones, and it breaks their hearts. But to have the joy, but we couldn't do it without you. You see, you've been right there with us as we've done these, drilled these water wells. You've seen the life come forth with that water of life and God's word to be expressed through giving and sharing, and you've been a big part of that. Well, we're asking again, because there needs to be some more water wells drilled. We need you to join with us again, and let's please bring the water of life to these people.
You know, Betty, as I listen to you, and I just watch you, I just thank God that you got such a heart for the Lord, a love for your family, but also a love for people that... I remember you were really afraid when we were at the mission field, and it was scary. I mean, we had AK-47 fights in the street outside our old run-down rooms, and I was held hostage 3 times, and we never talked about it. But Betty was hurt real bad because she got to ride the jump seat in all the four-wheel drive trucks where there were no roads, and it herniated 2 discs to where... Had you not bought a Life Angel, a transport plane for goods, where she could lay down instead of sitting in a seat, the neurosurgeon told us she would likely have been paralyzed. So, but she went back. After the surgery, she went back. But you see, you saved her life and her health. You saved her from being paralyzed. But she went to the mission field because of the love of God. And you're the ones right now that enable us to keep giving that water. Would you help us finish the 350 wells right now? We need a miracle. They're $4,800 each. Would you go get your bank card or your check? Would you drill a well? Would you give part of a well? Could you give a $1,200 gift and pray somebody joins you? 3 people who got a well, or $2,400 and pray one joins? Most of the gifts that come are $48. That gives 10 people water the rest of their life. There's a level at which you can help. Would you go get your bank card right now and dial that number? Or go online and make the gift God puts on your heart? Would you please? Betty and I were able to join those missionaries seeking to get God's arms of love around the overlooked. But it's the love of God through you that gives all the positive effect. We couldn't drill the water wells without you. Please make the gift God put on your heart now. Do it now. Thank you.
Dirty, diseased-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. With your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the final 150 water wells this year.
Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift, we'll send you Today is a Good Day seasonal devotional set. Broken out into the four seasons of the year, this beautiful set features a daily scripture, inspirational thoughts, and a place for you to journal your own thoughts, prayers, and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, request the leather-bound, life-giving Proverbs Journal, filled with wisdom and daily encouragement from Proverbs, including lined pages for your personal notes. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request a Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This little child is probably between 2 and 3 years old, maybe 4. But you know, he may not make it past 4 or 5. If he doesn't have the water that he needs. He has water, but it's contaminated. But you know, we have to give them a choice. They don't have a choice right now in so many places all over the world. Because they don't have that choice, their bodies are being contaminated with this bad water, and their families are dying. Our missionaries have been there and seen them in the hospitals. They're there because they haven't had good water. They've had contaminated water, and it's waterborne diseases that will kill them if we don't reach out and help them in time. Please help us do that. Please, all around the world, give these children a chance in life. Thank you so much, and God will bless you richly.
Well, Betty and I just say, in behalf of all the people you just gave a miracle to, thank you. We want to send you the seasonal devotions, summer, fall, winter, spring, and you're going to enjoy it. And the beautiful journal of wisdom that got the wisdom of Proverbs in it, you are going to love using this. And if you'd like to have Rebecca Lyons' book, Rhythms of Renewal, and you can see the glory of God on her, and boy, she'll lift you into that grace presence. So if you say, James, if we help give some water, would you send us her book too? You better believe it. You just help us give a cup of water, help drill a well. Thanks so much for watching Life Today. It's great to share these days and these weeks with you, along with Sheila Walsh, our son Randy, and all the guests that we're able to have on. And pretty soon we'll be able to have an audience back here again. We're glad you're our audience. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing.
Join this tender moment with Kay Warren tomorrow.
I can tell you that we were devastated and are devastated, but we are not destroyed.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.